We're joined now by Bill Fawkes, who has done an absolutely wonderful thing for international astronomy. You have funded and constructed two telescopes for the use of everybody.
This is right, and they're all available for free, or they're available freely, I should say, not for free.
Now, why have you done this?
Well, as I say, it's a long story, but the real initiative comes from my concern about education in the UK. Education in the UK is in an appalling state of affairs, especially science and mathematics. You know, it's mind-blowing to me that you have to have special dispensation to do the three subjects, biology, physics and chemistry. It's a nonsense now.
Explain why. What exactly is occurring? Because we have people listening from all across the world with different educational systems, and they'll be curious to know what's happening in the UK. Because for many years, the UK has looked to as being, has its education system as being looked up to. I mean, it's world country. It's,
you know, I used to think that, but if you look at the output from our schools today, compared with say kids from Russia or China or Singapore. On the sciences, I mean, they're just not a patch. And the stuff that I used to do when I was at school is just not taught in schools anymore. I mean, kids don't get basic things like logarithms in their mathematics education at school. And they're ruining geometry. I mean, geometry's basically been taken out of the curriculum. So it's fundamental things like this that I think are really, really sad. And what I'm trying to do at the moment, actually, is get some quantitative information about this, because there's a lot of qualitative talk about dumbing down the sciences, but it would be nice to get some real facts and figures to show that it actually has been dumbed down. And I'm doing this with a colleague who's written A-level science books and A-level maths books, and he wrote these some 20, 30 years ago, and he's now updating them. So what I'm going to get him to do is an analysis of what's actually been taken out, so you can really see the difference in education 40 years ago and education today.
So it's a longitudinal study, presumably based on what information you can get from 40 years ago. It's a very difficult job, though, isn't it? Because you're trying to understand, the education methods have changed over 40 years, like in many other fields of research, study, and other human endeavors. 40 years, how we taught people 40 years ago is very different to how we teach people now.
It's not just a matter of how you teach, it's what's actually in the curriculum. I mean, for example, if you say that differentiation and integration is no longer required at A-level physics, then you know that something's gone wrong, yeah? Something's been reduced. I mean, if they have to teach this at university, I mean, most university courses are now 4 years, whereas when I went to university, there were 3 years. So you have to take, you know, an extra year to get up to the standard that we got to when I was at school.
You're specifically concerned about the content of classroom science.
Yeah, yeah.
What specifically worries you? I mean, you've mentioned logarithms, presumably that's because you're a mathematician, and also differential equations, again, mathematical concepts. But what about the other subjects, like, I guess, maybe physics is related in many ways, but also how about biology and chemistry? I mean, do you...
Well, I'm not an educationist. I mean, I don't know enough about these subjects. I mean, I fall into the trap of the Daily Mail readers of saying, you know, it's not the way it used to be. So I need to get some quantitative information to demonstrate this. But I think children aren't stupid. They realise that they've got to get ticks in the boxes, and they'll take the easy options. And, you know, science is perceived as difficult, and it's not really difficult. But, you know, so you've got lots of things working against you. You've got the kids who are bright and say, we'll take the easy option. You've got the schools who are on metrics. You know, they're trying to demonstrate that they're one of the best. So, not surprisingly, they will encourage the kids to take the soft options so that they look good. You know, the whole system of government being metric-driven is sort of anti-difficult subjects, really.
Is that the main reason, in your view, why the system is in the state that it is? Is because the educational system is metric-driven? We're all trying to achieve the best position in our grade lists of schools and universities.
Well, that's what it feels like to me. But as I say, I'm not an educationalist, and don't sort of drag me into that trap, because I don't want people to say, well, what the hell does he know about education? Because I'm trying to find out a bit more about it. But as I say, gross generalisation, I do think children are not going into science. I mean, the numbers of kids doing maths and physics A-level has been on the decline for years, and it would be nice to stop that and change it.
You've done something positive, though, in producing the telescopes specifically.
Well, I'm trying. I'm trying to do, excuse me, I'm trying to do my little bit. I mean, my little bit really is to say, look, guys, this is really interesting stuff. And the project itself is not just an astronomy project. It's rich in all sorts of material. It's rich in, well, first and foremost, you've got two robots located thousands of miles away from the UK. And so you've got robotics technology, you've got communications technology, you've got, at a primary school level, you've got things like geography, which you can teach. You know, you can say to the kids, well, why not put these telescopes in these locations? And you can teach them about the fact that it's dark in Hawaii when it's daylight in the UK. So the project is meant to be a very, very rich project for inspirational teachers to use and to inspire their kids. I mean, with a good teacher, and I met some good teachers up in the world at a primary school, and they were just absolutely fascinated. And this was before the telescopes were installed. One of the teachers there was using this project to get the kids interested in all sorts of things, you know, astronomy, communications, geography.
Mm.
All manner of things. So
we should mention the Fox telescopes, Fox North and Fox South. Fox North is where?
In Hawaii.
Yeah, and Fox South in
Australia.
Right. So
your home country, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, now you mentioned swearing. We'll come to that in a minute.
New Zealand.
Antipodean, anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The other side of the world. Yeah, whatever. So you mentioned that you can. It's not just going straight into astronomy, you can start at a very early age with geography by simply explaining where these telescopes are and working towards why you have two telescopes on the other side of the world, the diurnal patterns, day, night, and presumably also go into seasons about why it's, you know, longer nights up there as opposed to down there. So it seems that you're trying to draw students in from a very, very early age and show them that, certainly through their teachers, that it isn't just jumping straight into cutting-edge astronomy discoveries that you're expecting people to do with these telescopes. You can start off at a very, very basic level.
That's right. That's very much the case. As I say, I met this, I can't remember the name of the school now, but the teacher there was fascinating because she'd used the project as a basis to introduce all manner of things. I've mentioned geography already. But the kids also did some ICT. They did a PowerPoint presentation. Okay? They put together the work for an entire year on a PowerPoint. And then, amazingly, they wanted to talk to me. So this head teacher phones me up and says, would you come and talk to our kids? And I'm thinking, why on earth am I spending 5 hours to go on a train up to Liverpool to talk to these wretched kids? You know? But bless them, they'd done all their research and they all wanted to ask questions. So again, the project, if you like, is generating little Paxmans, you know, I mean, they'd all thought about the questions, you know, they thought seriously about it. So again, just showing the diversity of the project, you can have children just coming on, asking questions of someone else, and working in teams. And then a teamwork thing was another theme that came out of this project, and kids working together to develop this PowerPoint presentation with voiceover. Now, I don't know how to do a voiceover PowerPoint presentation.
Not a week, actually.
But these are 10-year-old kids, you know.
Yeah.
As I say, you've got this inspirational teacher using the telescope project for 10, 11-year-old kids. I mean, it's fantastic. What we're trying to do now, I mean, I've joined up with a guy in the States called Wayne Rosing, who's basically taken over responsibility for the project. And he's expanding the concept, so we're going to have a range of apertures, so we're going to have a lot of smaller telescopes, half-meter telescopes, and we're going to have a network of 1-meter telescopes. So the 2-meter telescopes will be the icing on the cake, so that the plan really is to start with the youngsters using the small telescopes, and as they get better and better at the science, then we can get them onto the big telescopes. So, as I say, it's not really about the aperture size that's really important. So telescope availability is there for, as I say, for an inspirational teacher to get into this inquiry-based learning. That's what we're trying to do.
So if there are students who are listening at various levels at school and they think, this is great, I get my mitts on some, you know, telescope time, how can they do it? Do they need to talk to their teacher first, and the teacher then talks to you, essentially, or the foundation?
The route at the moment is through the class. Otherwise, you'll have total anarchy. But it is free access. Any school, anywhere in the world, gets free access to these telescopes. and we allocate half hour slots for them. But I mean, my focus is on the UK. Wayne's focus is obviously on the US. But hopefully we'll be able to get wider coverage. I mean, one of the fascinating things we've just done is, Paul Roche, who runs a project for me, has initiated a project, supported by the British Council, which was interesting, in Russia. And my main interest in Russia was to see the difference between the maths, that's taught in schools there and to see if we can learn from what they do, and bring it into this country. And we had something like 35 schools in Russia use the project, use the Forks Telescope for a year. And I was privileged to go to Moscow recently to listen to the results of their work. And this was organized at Moscow State University. So you got these young kids who'd been working with the project, coming to Moscow University to give a presentation on their work. And they're surrounded by professors in the university. And not only do they give a presentation about the maths that they've done, but they give it in English. So you've got these Russian kids giving a presentation on work that they've done. And the idea was to find out who had done the best project. But, you know, the mathematics that they'd done in these, in this work was fascinating and really, really good. So we're trying to understand what it is that really makes a difference in, as I say, from Russian education to the UK education. As I say, it's not just about maths and geography. I mean, with spectrographs now, we can do some really good chemistry, which is also useful. But again, it's teaching the teachers and getting ticks in the boxes so we can make it curriculum relevant, which is the frustration here.
That's an important thing, is teachers will be listening to this and wondering, whoa, this is fantastic. I'm a geography teacher. How do I get involved? Do you provide training for teachers to learn how to use the telescopes and get their students working on these
Very
projects?
Very much so. I mean, most of the money that I'm spending on the project now, which is nothing like as much as it was in the early days, but it's basically training the teachers. And we're trying to do online training, but we also do teacher training in groups. And this is very, very successful because if we train the teachers, then they go on and it works like a pyramid. I mean, the teachers then train other teachers. And it's very, very effective way of getting into the system. Yeah.
And there's some fantastic stuff you can do with these telescopes. I mean, myself, my own personal research interest is in extrasolar planets through microlensing, sort of very quick time domain observations of one-off events. And we routinely use Folks North, usually, to get vital observations. So when you talk to kids about finding extrasolar planets, their eyes light up and they immediately start asking about aliens, but that's enough to get them involved, get them interested in the research, which can be done. And it's simply a matter of saying, look, you guys can get involved, you know, we provide information about what to look at. How about you spend a little bit of time learning about the science, the background science, and how the telescopes will fit into that and give that extra data point, which could simply be vital for discovering a new planet.
Indeed. Well, unfortunately, I missed the presentation, but there were some school children here 2 days ago giving a presentation on their work, and according to the people I spoke to in the office, they were very, very impressed with what had been achieved. And again, I was here last year when another professor here, Alan Fitzsimmons, who's working on asteroid searches, was working with some students in the summer vacation, and the work that they did was fantastic. I mean, these were sixth form kids, and they were using Fourier transforms. And I said to their physics teacher, I said, would you be doing Fourier transforms in the class? He said, no way. So because they'd been involved in the Forks Telescope project, they were introduced to mathematics, which, you know, you and I used to do at school, but they don't do at school anymore.
Well, we wish you all the best in the teaching the teachers, and we will have links on our website for where teachers can go to inquire about education or how they can learn how to use the telescopes. Thank you very much for your time, and I'm sure you've been thanked before, but thank you very much on behalf of everybody who's used the Folks telescopes.
Thank you.